Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. Thank you for spending part of your day with me. In 2018, for the first time, a black photographer shot the cover of American Vogue. Now, for some context, the first issue of Vogue was published in 1892. And in 1909, the magazine was acquired by Condé Nast. That's actually when its main focus turned to women. So one black cover photographer in a century plus. That image maker's name is Tyler Mitchell, and he was just 23 at the time. Then later in 2018, Nadine Egeria, I think I got that right, became the first black woman to shoot Vogue cover. A Vogue cover. These two photographers are part of a group that the New York-based writer, critic, and curator Antoine Sargent has named the New Black Vanguard. In a book that comes out on October 29th, titled The New Black Vanguard, Photography Between Art and Fashion, Sargent features 15 black image makers who are changing the way photos are being created, who is in them, and then in turn, how they influence culture. The other photographers featured in the book include, okay, Antoine, you might have to help me with some of these names.
Sure.
Okay. Campbell Addy. Mm-hmm. Ariel Bob Willis, Micaiah Carter, mm-hmm. Iwal Arisku.
Yep, Iwal Arisku.
Iwal, thank you. Quill Lemons, Namsa Luba, mm-hmm. Renelle Medrano, Jamal Nedlana, mm-hmm. Daniel Obasi, Ruth Asai, mm-hmm. Adrian Raquel, Dana Scruggs, and Stephen Teo.
Teo.
Mm-hmm. I apologize to anyone. I did my best. In the book, Sargent describes these creators as, quote, making fashion images that establish the significance of the black figure and even more radically the black creator as a new ideal in contemporary culture. He is in studio right now. And he has a show up at Jenkins Johnson Gallery in Brooklyn through October 19th that he curated, and on October 24th, an accompanying exhibition to his book at Aperture Gallery in Chelsea. You are very busy.
I am very busy. And there's also a third show up called Young, Gifted, and Black at Concordia College. It's a traveling show that spans painting, photography, and sculpture. And it looks at this generation of young black artists who are working across media, mm-hmm. Thinking about painting and sculpture and photography, but also thinking about their blackness in relationship to those mediums and mm-hmm. expanding those mediums. And it includes everybody from Kara Walker to Jordan Castile to Henry Taylor and David Hammond.
That's a big thing.
It's a big group of people.
That's a big group of people. I want to talk to you a couple of specific things about the book, and then we can talk mm-hmm. bigger picture issues. You write in the book, the fashion image is a totem. So the totem being like a symbol with great significance. Mm-hmm. How do you see the fashion image as a totem?
Well, I think that when we think about the possibilities that that image makers construct in the photograph, right? It's partly fantasy, right? And where those fantasies take us, depends on who is looking at the image, right? And so I think about it, and so that's why I said the fashion image is a totem, because of the possibilities of the image to inspire, to transform us, right? And also, the reality of the image, standing in for stereotypes, right? Mm-hmm. And so when I wrote that, I was really thinking about the ways in which the image, particularly the fashion image and the art images, has operated in society, right? The ways in which we think about the possibilities of art.
We all know that imagery can shape opinions and create connections either consciously or unconsciously. It happens in photojournalism all the time. Specifically, how does it happen in fashion photography, and how does that affect cultural norms?
So for me, right, in your intro, you talked about Tyler Mitchell's mm-hmm. historic image of Beyoncé that was for the first time in 2018 featured on the cover of Vogue, meaning that a black photographer shot a black subject for that image, for the cover, right? And one of the criticism of Tyler's image was that it was not iconic, right? And I thought that was interesting because to me, it was an iconic photograph, right? But it depends on our definitions of what iconic can mean, right?
So if Beyoncé had been standing on the steps of the Capitol like Marian Anderson, would that have been like an iconic image? Is that what
it was? Potentially, right? But I think that what that criticism gets at is the fact that we've seen a certain type of image, right? And we've associated that right. with being iconic, right? And so a woman who is world famous in repose, right? Whose softer kind of qualities came through in those images, in the lighting, in the dress, mm-hmm. and in her pose, right? And on one of the covers, she's holding, you know, she's kind of holding the sheet, right? Which alludes to, you know, black femininity, black womanhood, black motherhood, right? All of those kind of are definitions of things have images attached to them. Right. Mm-hmm. And for me, part of this book and a part of, you know, kind of the conversation I'm trying to have with this book is for us to reassess how those definitions were formed and what images we have associated with those definitions and with those words, and see if we can expand them. Right. And use these photographers, 15 or so photographers in the book, to really start to kind of contest and expand those notions.
I think this is what Tyler is getting to. He presents what he refers to as a black utopic space, which celebrates, as you write, the mundane. Mm-hmm. Why is featuring the mundane important in this kind of photography?
Well, I think it's important in relationship to black bodies, because the way that we often consume black bodies is in a state of kind of active participation, right? Or attached to, say, labor, right? Or attached to kind of the value that comes from a body achieving something, right? And so in our popular images in society, in this society, is often of sports players or athletes or singers or performers doing something, right? And I think that, you know, part of the power of Tyler Mitchell's photographs and his kind of exploration and building of this other kind of alternative is to kind of disassociate blackness from capital in some ways, you know, extracting capital from bodies, but also just to say, okay, this is what a black body looks like at rest. This is what a black body looks like outside of certain values that we prescribe to it as a society, right? And so I think that's when he, at least to me, when he's talking about building a black utopic space, he's really talking about trying to construct a space outside of some of the traditional stereotypes or traditional ways in which that we have viewed, mm-hmm. in which we've viewed the black body, to kind of, you know, perhaps create space for other considerations, right? And so for him, that is, in a particular way, thinking about, you know, black upper middle class life that he grew up in suburban Georgia, right? For other people, that might mean other things. But mm-hmm. I think for Mitchell to signify the need for that space, you know, in his photographs is important and significant. And I think it allows others to think about what that might mean for them in their lives.
It's interesting. I'm reading Thick. I feel like this book needs to be on top of this photo book. Like I feel like they're in conversation
exactly.
with each other.
Right, yeah.
My guest is Antoine Sargent, the new black vanguard photography between art and fashion. What role does portraiture play mm-hmm. in this book and in the images that these photographers are making?
Well, I think that portraiture plays a significant role in these images. A lot of the images draw on a deep history of black portraiture that really could be dated back, which is part of my argument, to Frederick Douglass, and who was famously the most photographed man of the 19th, or most photographed person of the 19th century, right? And what's kind of interesting about Frederick Douglass, as we know him as, you know, an abolitionist and, you know, a really a founding father of our country, right? He also was one of the first photo critics, right? And so during the lead up to the Civil War and during the Civil War, he gave 4 speeches around the possibility and the power of photography, right? And part of those speeches, he was talking about the ways that photography could be a great democratic medium, the ways that photography could be used to reverse some of the caricatures that had been kind of normalized in society at the time about Black people. And so you really have photography from its inception in the 1800s being thought about and being used as a tool to correct certain narratives, right? Mm-hmm. And that largely happened through...
Your friend is calling to say you're on the radio.
I know, right? I thought I turned it off. That has largely happened through portraiture, mm-hmm. right? And that's the taking of images of people, right? And as history went on, you know, we get the Brownie camera, right? The Kodak Brownie, and that kind of further democratizes photography, mm-hmm. right? And so families were able to kind of take images of themselves, right? Furthering the ability for us to kind of create images of ourselves that were meaningful and that represented us how we wanted to be represented, right? And that history kind of continues all the way through the 20th century and shows up in the book in variety of ways.
Yeah, the book is full of a lot of young photographers. Why do you think, or how do you think millennials and Gen Zers are, how do you think they're using image making in a different way than predecessors?
There's so many answers to that, but one that just comes to mind at the moment is the ways in which they are not only shooting the images, right? Because that is something that has happened throughout history. The ways in which they're disseminating the images, ways that they're using social media, the ways that they're kind of creating their own zines and magazines and digital platforms and modeling agencies. And I mean, this group of photographers have, you know, they have really built hold communities around their images that allows for a different kind of a consumption, right? And so in some ways, I talk about how these photographers have been really smart about cutting out some of the traditional institutions, whether that's museums.
Oh, yeah, the gatekeepers.
Exactly, gatekeepers, right? Museums, magazine editors.
Agents,
all of those things mm-hmm. to really have a direct conversation about the themes that are in their images with different communities, right? Or you have someone like Awal Arisco, who used to use Instagram to curate exhibitions, photo exhibitions on that platform, right? And so it's just really I really think that, you know, each generation has the technologies that they have, and this generation has been able to use those technologies to profound effect, to really start to kind of change the available images that we have of Black people in this country, or in this country and world, because these photographers are not just working in New York, not just working in LA or the major capitals in the world. They're in Lagos, they're in, you know, South Africa, Johannesburg, they're in London, they're really kind of creating across the world, and they're having a global conversation about the depiction of Blackness.
And through Instagram, it doesn't have to be at one gallery
exactly.
in one big city that right. only a select few ever get to see.
Exactly.
My guest is Antoine Sargent. The name of his book is The New Black Vanguard, Photography Between Art and Fashion. We'll have more with Antoine after a quick break. This is All of It.
WNYC supporters include Glenn Mead, an independent trust company providing investment and private wealth management services to individuals, families, endowments, and institutions. More from Lee Miller at 212-328-7331. The Met Breuer, presenting Via Selmans to fix the image in memory, from ocean surfaces to everyday objects, 50 years of quiet yet powerful depictions of our world in a wide range of media. More at metmuseum.org. Fear, a new suspense drama at the Lucille Lortel Theater that follows a little girl's disappearance and prompts a tense confrontation among a plumber, a professor, and a teenage boy. Tickets at feartheplay.com.
How much is the trade war hurting China's economy? We go inside a Chinese factory and meet a businessman moving his company's production to Vietnam.
Purely because of the tariffs. It's just got stronger and stronger and stronger. The tariffs now are just about on everything made in China.
We look at the trade war's impact on the ground in China. This afternoon on All Things Considered from NPR News.
Weekdays starting at 4 on WNYC. This is All of It on WNYC. My guest is Antoine Sargent. The name of his new book is The New Black Vanguard, Photography Between Art and Fashion. The images in this book are just really stunning. I was sharing with you, I was falling in love with a couple of them. And I wondered, though, you know, there have been so many great black photographers, Roy DeCarva and Gordon Parks, Carrie Mae Weems. When you were assembling this book, did you feel the ancestors in the work of these young artists? We just talked about all the ways they're different.
Right.
What are some of the ways that they're the same and they've learned from some of the greats?
One of the kind of, for me, personal requirements, if you will, for inclusion in this particular book, and that does not mean that other photographers should not have been included, it's just We try to keep it affordable. It's 310 pages, so we had to, you know, we worked with what we had, and there should be a volume 1, 2, 3, you know. But in this particular book, one of the things that was really important for me was if you're going to talk about the young, the new, the now, that you're going to have to also, given the history of erasure, given the history of underrepresentation for women photographers, given the history of what it has meant to be black in this country and across the world, that you have to always, at least just personal philosophy, you have to, as you look forward, you have to look back. Mm-hmm. Because those histories have not been documented, right? And so for me as a critic, for me as someone who organizes exhibitions, as me as someone who's engaged critically in public dialogue, it's always important for me to do that. To look forward as we're looking backwards. That said, their influences are felt in these images. You talked about Roy DeCarva. I know we've been talking about Tyler Mitchell. That kind of mundaneness of Roy's images comes through in Tyler's photographs, right? Mm-hmm. You think about African studio portraiture, post-war portraiture, or post-independence portraiture of the 1950s, 1960s, and you think about people like Malik Sidibe, for example, right? Ruth Ostasi, her studio portraitures is in the lineage of Malik's photographs, right? You said Carrie Mae Weems, right? Mm-hmm. One thing that is also really interesting is not only is Carrie Mae Weems like an amazing photographer, probably perhaps one of the most important artists of our time, you go to their mood boards and her series are on their mood boards. Also, what's interesting about what Carrie Mae Weems is doing is that she's also shooting images, fashion images these days, right? If you think about W Magazine last year, she shot Mary J. Blige for W Magazine, blurring the lines between art photography and fashion photography, right? And so this book is created in that spirit, right? And I think that I couldn't create this book without looking at, you know, not only Carrie Mae Weems and James and Roy DeCarva, but James Van Der Zee, Jamel Shabazz and Micheline Thomas. And I mean, there's all of these kind of artists who have contributed to the canon that work should be discussed and should be discussed in relationship to the impact that their images have had on us, right? And so a part of this book is naming that, and part of this book is saying, given the language that these predecessors have created, how is the next generation building on that language, right? And so that has been, I mean, as you kind of flip through the book, there are these dialogues, right, between Deb Willis Thomas, Tyler Mitchell. There's a dialogue between Micheline Thomas and Quill Lemons. There's a dialogue between, you know, there are all of these intergenerational dialogues in interviews in the book that speaks to some of these questions of how do we look back, mm-hmm. but how do we look forward, but by looking back, right? And you have just really kind of remarkable exchanges between these photographers who are of different generations, but who are all committed to similar questions and aesthetics.
I want to talk about your show a little bit, the show that's up at Jenkins Johnson Gallery that you curated, Chase Hall and Cameron Welch. Can you tell us a little bit about them?
Yes, so it's a painting show. Also in the theme of, with the ethos and theme of the book, they're young artists. Both of them are in their 20s. And Jenkins Johnson is a project space owned by Black gallerist Karen Jenkins Johnson, who invites critics in, Black critics and curators in to do projects, right? Which is outside of a normal kind of exhibition, right? That means it's a space of experimentation, which is important when you're thinking about young artists in general, right? They need to have spaces to show works that they're working through, ideas that they're working through. That said, these two young men are thinking about notions of history, right? And their paintings, although very different aesthetics, they're thinking about how we have, you know, naturalized narratives in our society, right? Around race, but also around painting itself, right? Like the knowledge that goes into what makes a good painting, right, or the knowledge that goes into, you know, what makes someone Black, right? Or and so Chase is doing that by looking at early 20th century caricatures and contextualizing them in sculpture. But in his paintings, he's really kind of just kind of painting them with this kind of more kind of modern day feel. And so, and then Cameron is using the language of craft and graffiti and mixing that, you know, with like Greek myths, because when he, this particular body of work, he went to the Met and he saw, and he was looking at the sculpture at the Met, and he was like, well, where are Black myths? Where are those kind of age-old stories, right? And so he used that as a point of departure to create these kind of huge mosaics, where he is thinking about like recent myths. So as in like the sea, so there's like CDs and things kind of like, you know, embedded, meaning that like, you know, we don't use CDs anymore, but like that's a form of technology we used to kind of rely heavily on that have histories embedded in it, right? And then he's also thinking about things like Greek gods. He's also has like drums kind of embedded in the painting, where he's thinking about, you know, African myths and things and things like that, and masks as well. And so it's really kind of a show that that kind of explores our history and kind of makes some arguments about expanding those notions and rethinking, you know, the thing, like critically kind of assessing the things that are told to us in a lot of ways.
Before I let you go, I do want to ask you one quick question about the show at Aperture on the 24th. How does it relate to the book?
Sure. Okay. So the show at Aperture is not just the book on the walls, right? It was really important for us and for me to make sure that it is an expanded kind of version of the vision. And so not only do you have these photographers in the exhibition, you also have a section where other image makers who are very much a part of the New Black Vanguard have an opportunity to show their work. You also have video because these artists are not only working in photography, but they're also considering the moving image. And then you also have a history of magazine culture, Black magazine culture across the 20th century. So you have old, issues of Ebony and Jet. You have things like Drum Magazine, which is South African magazine. You have the Black Photographer's Annual, you know, and then you also have magazines that this generation is creating about their concerns. And so you have Campbell Addy's magazine. You have Bubblegum Club, which is Jamal Nexlana's platform. They make zines. Tyler Mitchell made his own book when he was in college. You have some of that kind of print culture that is so important to informing who we are and our ideas about, you know, the society in which we live.
Well, I think you've given people a lot to go see. My guest has been Antoine Sargent. The name of the book is The New Black Vanguard, Photography Between Art and Fashion. Thank you for coming to the studio.
Thanks for having me.
This is All of It.